Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso. We want to wish a Happy New Year to all of our listeners out there today. This week, the weather tops our news, and it's going to be chilly, wet, and windy, and we'll have details. Next up in local news, hear why the state has canceled plans to open a parole office in La Mesa after citizens organized to oppose the effort. On Green Scene, hear why a court has tossed out the county's climate change plan and what that means for major housing developments in the pipeline in rural communities. In Rancho San Diego, learn the results of a petition drive by residents hoping to stop a sand mine on the Cottonwood Golf Course site along the Sweetwater River and next to a federal wildlife refuge. Pine Valley has a brand new fire station to help keep our backcountry safe, and we'll have more on today's show. From Public News Service, hear about a pro-children agenda at the forefront of incoming California Governor Gavin Newsom's administration. El Cajon Councilman Ben Colasio and his wife Jessica have entered into mediation in an effort to settle fraud and defamation claims against them. On Destination East County, hear about events coming up across our region in January, from New Year's celebrations to desert hikes and bike rides, stargazing, concerts, and more. The Christmas holiday weekend brought tragedies to some California families due to fatality highway crashes, including a collision that killed a man and a young child here in Ramona. On our Arts and Music report, learn why the reopening of the East County Performing Arts Center has been delayed one more time. And then we'll take you on the road to the old Campo Stone store, site of a historic Wild West gun battle back in the 1800s. And finally, we'll have some home safety tips for you as we start off the new year. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. This is Miriam Raftery with this week's weather report. The first substantial winter storm of the season is predicted for this week. The National Weather Service is forecasting rainfall of up to 2 inches, plus snow in the mountains Wednesday through Sunday, with the heaviest precipitation likely on Thursday. Frost and freezing temperatures may occur in inland valleys. Elevated fire conditions will continue through Tuesday until the storm sweeps in, and fog is expected early Wednesday morning in the valley areas. The storm will also bring high surf and hazardous conditions along the shore later this week, with coastal flooding and beach erosion expected. Gusty west winds in the mountains, deserts, and coastal waters are predicted, with gusts up to 75 miles an hour.
The new year will look a little bit brighter for many of the nation's lowest paid workers. Minimum wage is rising on January 1st in 19 states. That includes California, where the new minimum wage goes up to $12 an hour for companies with 26 or more employees and $11 for small businesses with fewer than 26 employees. The law does not apply to parents, spouses, or children of a business owner, or to outside salespersons, trainees, or apprentices. There are also exemptions for some nonprofits, such as rehab facilities, and those that employ disabled workers. California's minimum wage is slated to continue to rise over the next few years, ultimately reaching $15 an hour in 2023 for employees at both large and small businesses. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
Nearly 1,800 East County residents who signed a petition opposing a state parole office proposed in La Mesa got an early Christmas present. On December 19th, La Mesa City Manager Yvonne Garrett received a message from the state's Division of Adult Parole Operations advising that the agency has dropped its plans to open the parole office in La Mesa due to, quote, functional and logistical issues, although the agency indicates it will continue to seek an alternative location somewhere else in East County. The state had proposed the facility on Grossmont Summit Drive, next to homes on Mount Helix, near the Brigantine Restaurant. The site was within a quarter mile of Grossmont High School. The closest trolley stop would have been shared by high school and middle school students, with violent parolees and sex offenders walking directly past both schools. Supervisor Diane Jacob alerted residents to the proposal, although the county has no jurisdiction over the state's proposal, which drew strong community opposition. Many residents spoke out at a La Mesa City Council meeting. Daniel and Stephanie Bothan, who live near the site, organized the opposition. They posted the online petition, did research, sought opinions from experts, and encouraged concerned parents, teachers, and residents to reach out to their elected officials. The property's leasing agent, Mark Roback, said that city staff had told him the zoning would allow a parole office usage, but upon learning of the plan, the city raised objections over possible zoning code violations. As calls and emails poured in, La Mesa Mayor Mark Arapostathis and newly elected State Senator Brian Jones both took stands against the parole office location. Major media outlets covered the story. The facility, wherever it winds up being located, is intended to serve the needs of parolees from state prisons who now live in East County, including thousands of parolees ranging from sex offenders to those convicted of other serious crimes, including assault, armed robbery, and murder. Opponents of the La Mesa location contend that a parole office should be located only in a commercial or industrial area, far away from homes and schools. Chris Catt, who lives near the site, says she and her neighbors are prepared to help others fight any efforts to site the parole office in a residential neighborhood. She posted online, "We will stand with our neighbors everywhere. All of San Diego County is our community," she concludes, adding, "All children, homes, and schools must be protected." Reporting for East County Magazine in La Mesa, this is Miriam Raftery.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Miriam Raftery with the Green Scene Report. Superior Court Judge Timothy Taylor has ruled that the County of San Diego's Climate Action Plan fails to achieve state goals for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Judge Taylor ruled on behalf of the Sierra Club, finding that the county's policy of allowing developers to offset emissions in locations outside of our region, anywhere in the world, do not provide the required enforceable, verifiable, and long-term emission reductions mandated. The court also found the remote offset provisions to be inconsistent with the county's own general plan, as well as violating the California Environmental Quality Act. In a lengthy decision, Judge Taylor also found the policy failed to analyze how facilitating developments in rural lands far away from transit and often in high fire hazard zones could achieve SANDAG's regional plans for smart growth. The court also faulted the county for failing to adequately respond to comments from the public on ways to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The court ordered the county to set aside its approval of the Climate Action Plan and an environmental impact report. A permanent injunction was issued to prevent the approval of any further developments that would require changes to the general plan and rely on out-of-county offsets. This decision was the latest in a series of defeats for the county and victories for the Sierra Club in challenges to the county's Climate Action Plan. Sierra Club attorney Josh Chatton Brown voiced thanks for the court's comprehensive decision, adding, "Unfortunately, despite losing in court at every step of the way since 2012, the county has failed to provide the people of San Diego the type of effective and enforceable climate action plan it's committed to and which is sorely needed. As shown in the most recent climate change report from the UN's International Panel on Climate Change, local governments play a critical role in addressing climate change, and our planet will be in dire straits if we don't dramatically reduce greenhouse gases." The Sierra Club attorney notes that increases in violent storms, flooding, droughts, wildfires, and extreme temperatures pose threats to lives and health of people around the world. And he adds, "We hope that the county will finally accept this responsibility and work with the Sierra Club and other stakeholders to promptly prepare a truly effective and enforceable climate action plan." Petitioners that have joined with the Sierra Club in its 6-year battle against the county's climate action plan include the Center for Biological Diversity, Cleveland National Forest Foundation, Climate Action Campaign, Endangered Habitats League, Environmental Center of San Diego, and Preserve Wild Santee. The county has contended that the offsets were needed to meet demands for more housing, including affordable housing, in our region. According to a press release issued by the Sierra Club, the environmental group says it does support development and affordable housing, but only in areas that will not result in sprawl, increased traffic, and air pollution. The Sierra Club also supports smart development near workplaces, transit, and in San Diego's core urban areas, such as the SDSU West proposal to expand San Diego State University and provide affordable housing that is adjacent to the trolley and other transit. Meanwhile, it's back to the drawing board for the County of San Diego when it comes to climate action.
This is Jonathan Goetz. In a significant show of early community strength, the Stop Cottonwood Sand Mine Committee has submitted over 2,100 petition signatures to the County of San Diego from area residents opposed to the plan for a 10 to 12 year sand mining operation on the Cottonwood Golf Course site in Rancho San Diego. Since its first community meeting on November 28th, attended by over 200 residents, the volunteer group collected 2,109 signatures and 70 additional comments of opposition. Several hundred have also signed up on the group's website to receive ongoing communications about actions they can take to reject plans for the sand mine. County Planning and Development Services staff also reported over 130 emails or letters received directly from residents. On behalf of local residents, the community has expressed significant concerns about a long-term sand mine along the Sweetwater River in the middle of an established residential neighborhood surrounded by homes, schools, and businesses. Those concerns, detailed at StopCottonwoodSandMine.com, include traffic, safety and noise, impacts on the environment, and decreased property values. Area residents view a sand mine as inconsistent with the character of surrounding neighborhoods. Wildlife biologists have voiced concerns over impacts on wildlife in the adjacent Federal Wildlife Preserve along the Sweetwater River downstream from the property. Committee members said they are thrilled by the opposition gathered thus far. "Obviously, this is just the beginning," said Stop Cottonwood Sand Mine Committee Chair Elizabeth Urquhart. "Much more work is to be done to inform the community about the proposed project and to guide them to help stop it. Additional steps will be communicated to those registering on the website as the project application continues its review by county staff and the Valle de Oro Community Planning Group." The sand mine is proposed by Beverly Hills-based investor Michael Schlesinger, who purchased Cottonwood Golf Course in 2015, 4 years after the golf course filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy reorganization. Schlesinger proposes to mine 7.5 million tons of aggregate over 10 years in three phases. Sand and aggregate would be utilized to meet road and construction needs, with reclamation planned after each phase, according to the developer.
A new fire station has opened in Pine Valley, strengthening fire safety for a number of outlying communities across San Diego's backcountry. The new two-story, 13,000-square-foot fire station is almost double the size of the old building. The structure is designed to house up to 15 full-time firefighters, with 3.5 double bays for fire trucks, replacing a facility that was built in 1974. It's powered by solar panels and was built to Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, or LEED, silver certification standards, conserving both water and electricity. Changes to the fire engine entrance and road are also expected to reduce response times. Supervisor Diane Jacobs says this new fire station will better protect the residents of Pine Valley and also support the surrounding communities of Descanso, Mount Laguna, and Boulevard. The $8.2 million structure is expected to serve the area for the next 50 years. It's all part of over $500 million that the county has spent on firefighting improvements in the 15 years since the deadly Cedar Fire of 2003. Chief Tony Meacham with the County Fire Authority and CAL FIRE says the construction and modernization of Pine Valley Fire Station 44 is the latest in our efforts to provide year-round, around-the-clock service to 1.5 million acres in the unincorporated county. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
California's kids and young adults could benefit from a pro-kid agenda during the new administration of Governor Gavin Newsom. That's according to a new report just out from the nonprofit group Children Now. The agenda lays out steps the state could take to improve quality of life for the state's more than 11 million people younger than age 26. Ted Lempert is president of Children Now, the nonprofit that pulled together the ideas from 80 partner coalitions to form the agenda. He says the state could make a huge difference by focusing on the first few years of life.
it's really critical that the state invest in quality early childhood programs. So the agenda highlights both the need for increased access to quality child care, home visiting programs, developmental screenings, and really putting a key emphasis on the earliest years.
The report also says the state needs leadership to push to better integrate data from the various agencies to identify which programs are producing results and expand on them. Another series of proposals looks at ways to improve foster care so that children are placed with permanent families as soon as possible to avoid the disruption of multiple moves. Lempert says he would also like to see the state bring more services for kids directly onto school grounds.
We really need to ensure that health services and screenings are where the kids are at. We've actually gotten so siloed that now it's very, very difficult for so many families to get their kids to the needed services and the screening.
Statistics show that California has the worst record in the nation when it comes to making counselors, nurses, special ed, and other support staff available on campus. So the report recommends a higher target for the local control funding formula, which would allow schools to hire more staff. For Public News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
El Cajon Councilman Ben Colasso and his wife Jessica have informed Superior Court Judge Kenneth Medell that they have entered into mediation in an effort to settle the fraud and harassment case against them. Although Jessica Colasso appeared with her own separate counsel at an early December hearing, at the most recent court appearance, attorney Donald Wolf announced that he is representing both of the Colassos for purposes of the mediation. Ben Colasso's former lawyer, James Finnegan, is now representing the councilman only in a separate lawsuit against yet another former Colasso attorney, Stephen Leosi. The fraud and harassment case has been on the docket of the Superior Court for a year and a half. The plaintiffs include beauty pageant contestants who claim they were sexually harassed. One pageant winner, who lost her crown amid a contract dispute, contends that the Colassos arranged to have falsified nude photos of her posted on social media as revenge. Another contends that Ben Colasso offered her the pageant crown if she would have sex with him. Another plaintiff, a taco shop owner, says he was defamed through multiple false identities taken out by Ben Colasso on social media, including false claims that the restaurant gave customers food poisoning. Yet another plaintiff, a lawyer who has previously sued Colasso for fraud and won, says he retaliated against her on social media with baseless smears and crude sexual innuendos. A stipulation requires the litigants to conclude settlement talks by February 20th and postpone any future hearings and debtor exams until February 22nd, when they must report back to Judge Medell at a 10 a.m. hearing on results of the mediation discussions. Reliable legal sources indicate that the district attorney's office is investigating the possibility of filing criminal actions against the Colassos over their filing of an allegedly fraudulent mortgage in a possible effort to protect their Fletcher Hills home from being taken to satisfy a financial judgment against them if they were to lose the fraud and harassment case. The DA is also reportedly considering prosecuting Colasso over threatening a process server and an East County Magazine journalist with an attack dog. The DA's office declined to comment officially, as is customary in ongoing criminal investigations. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Welcome to Destination East County with your hosts, Rebecca Williamson
and Jonathan Getz, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This week's Destination East County includes New Year's Eve celebrations in Alpine, Lakeside, and Hamul, plus events coming up in January, including a circus in Otay Ranch, classes at the Water Conservation Garden, live music and open mic nights at Winola Pizza, ice skating at Viejas, desert hikes, and a Paleolithic conference in Borrego Springs, a star party at Mission Trails, and the musical Songs for a New World at the Encore Theater in Spring Valley.
So stay tuned for all of these events and many more.
Viejas is hosting two New Year's Eve celebrations. A bash at the park at Viejas will feature live music from Rising Star, options to buy food and drinks, and watching a glittering ball drop at midnight, followed by a dazzling fireworks display. Or opt for an upscale New Year's Eve gala in the Oak Ballroom, complete with dinner, open bar, and dancing the night away. For tickets and details, you can visit viejas.com and click the Entertainment tab.
Verona will also be celebrating the new year with a party starting at 4 p.m. that includes games, live music, food mobs, and a midnight toast. You can visit Barona.com for details.
The Hamul Casino will be ringing in the new year with a New Year's Eve party December 31st that starts at noon and continues until 2019 arrives. Options include a New York-style dinner at the Prime Cut Steakhouse or a lobster and prime rib buffet at the Tony Gwynn Sports Bar, plus DJs and live entertainment until 1:30 a.m. at Tony Gwynn's, the Jive Lounge, and the Loft 94 Beer Garden. For full details, you can visit HamulCasinoSD.com.
American Crown Circus is bringing its Circo Osorio to the Otay Ranch Town Center January 10th through the 14th. A family tradition for over 90 years, this show includes aerial acrobats, trapeze flyers, illusions, a wheel of death, daredevils, creative costumes, and theatrical showmanship. The Las Vegas-based show promises spellbinding performances as aerial artists swing, acrobats tumble, and artists defy the laws of gravity just inches from the audience. For tickets and details, visit AmericanCrownCircusTickets.com.
Winter is the season to explore our desert region. The Anza Borrego Desert Natural History Association will host several hikes in January in California's largest state park, including outings to places such as Palm Canyon and Hornblende Canyon. There's a moonlight walk, as well as bicycling and birdwatching events. For a full schedule of these and more activities, visit the Anza Borrego Desert Natural History Association at abdnha.org.
The Water Conservation Garden has some fascinating classes coming up in January, including the lore of the Kumeyaay, garden yoga, and an all-about worms composting class. You can also enjoy docent-led tours of the garden. For more information, you can visit thegarden.org.
Winola Wood-Fired Pizza and Bistro in Winola on Highway 78 just outside of Julian offers live entertainment every Friday and Saturday night from 6 to 9 p.m., plus open mic nights each Thursday starting at 6 p.m. You're invited to come show your talent or enjoy listening to others. For more information, you can visit WinolaPizza.com.
The largest outdoor ice skating rink in Southern California is open now through January 6th at the Viejas Outlet Center in Alpine. Rental skates are available. In addition to ice skating, visitors can enjoy holiday entertainment and a seasonal water show. For details, visit viejas.com.
The new discoveries in the American Paleolithic Conference will be held in Borrego Springs, January 10th through 12th. This conference will present evidence from throughout the Americas that demonstrate the presence of a widespread human occupation much earlier than was previously recognized. How early? 16,000 years ago. To register, you can visit the Anza Borrego Foundation website at theabf.org/calendar/new-discoveries.
Mission Trails Regional Park invites you to a star party on January 12th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Amateur astronomer George Varga and his telescope will be at the far end of the Kumeyaay Lake Campground Day Use Lot, where you can view the Seven Sisters constellation, the Andromeda Galaxy, and more celestial sites. For more information, visit Mission Trails Regional Park at mtrp.org and click on their calendar.
Young Actors Theater will present Songs for a New World January 24th through 27th at the Encore Theater in Spring Valley. Songs for a New World was the first musical from Tony Award winner Jason Robert Brown. The show is a collection of powerful songs that examine life, love, and the choices that we make. The show transports the audience from the deck of a 1492 Spanish sailing ship to a ledge 57 stories above Fifth Avenue in New York. The audience will meet an array of characters, ranging from a young man who has determined that basketball is his ticket out of the ghetto, to a woman whose dream of marrying rich nabs her the man of her dreams, and a soulless marriage. For tickets, visit yatsandiego.org.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more in the calendar and events section at our website, eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or you'd like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website, or the Destination East County show here on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
From December 21st through December 25th, 34 people died in holiday highway accidents statewide, and over 1,000 arrests were made for driving under the influence of drugs or alcohol, the California Highway Patrol reports. Locally, 52 DUI arrests were made in San Diego County, and 2 fatality crashes occurred, including a collision in Ramona that killed 44-year-old Gonzalo Rodriguez and a little boy, Christian Diaz. Gonzalo, who was driving a Toyota Camry, drifted onto the shoulder and overcorrected, crossing the center line and hitting a truck head-on. 2 other passengers in Gonzalo's vehicle, as well as the driver of the truck, were also injured in the Christmas Eve collision, including a second child who was life-flighted to a hospital. CHP spokesman Travis Garrow says alcohol and drugs are not believed to be factors in that deadly Ramona crash. The other holiday weekend fatal accident locally claimed the life of 35-year-old Ryan Moon Golden, who died after being struck by vehicles on Highway 67 near Poway on December 23rd. So listeners, as we enter the new year, please be careful behind the wheel. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery. The East County Magazine show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interests, not special interests. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part 2 of the East County Magazine radio show.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from our region.
The East County Magazine show airs Mondays and Fridays on KNSJ from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. You can listen live at 89.1 FM or online at knsj.org. You can also listen anywhere by downloading the TuneIn application for your smartphone. For details, visit tunein.com. This is Miriam Raftery, and I'm here with Jonathan Goetz. Jonathan, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Miriam.
We're here to reflect back on our top East County stories of the year, and it's been a turbulent year, both across the nation and here at home.
Some of our top news stories covered by East County Magazine were purely local issues, a fire that ravaged Alpine, battles to stop sand mines in Lakeside and Rancho San Diego, a debate over the future of Julian's fire department, the indictment of Congressman Duncan Hunter, controversies embroiling El Cajon Councilman Ben Colasso, growing pains in Santee, and protests over a proposed parole office in La Mesa, to name a few.
Other top stories reflect local impacts of national and statewide actions, such as concerns over a child migrant detention center in El Cajon, protests over gun violence in schools, the impacts of marijuana legalization, the e-scooter craze, homelessness, and new faces swept into office during the election.
So here are the issues and events with the biggest impacts across East County that we covered in 2018, starting January 1st through year's end.
Spring Valley residents celebrated New Year's Day back on January 1st, 2018, with a hike to the top of Dictionary Hill, a brand new county preserve thanks to a 15-year battle waged by the community to save this scenic vista from development.
Legalization of recreational marijuana in California began in January, with San Diego allowing sales of pot products and consumers statewide allowed to grow 6 plants for personal use. Lemon Grove and La Mesa have wrestled with implementing voter-approved measures, legalizing sales of medical marijuana, prompting lawsuits. La Mesa voters in November passed an initiative to tax marijuana sales. By year's end, state regulators ruled that deliveries must be allowed in all cities to assure access to legal products, despite law enforcement objections.
In January, Supervisor Diane Jacob urged the California Public Utilities Commission to investigate intentional power outages in East County that San Diego Gas and Electric imposed to prevent fires on windy days. SDG&E held a community meeting and provided a generator for merchants in Julian in outages this year, but many rural residents remain frustrated at being left in the dark without access to well water, powered by electricity, or to emergency communications during outages.
El Cajon was in the national spotlight on Martin Luther King Day last January,
arresting activists who defied a city ban on feeding homeless people in public parks. The activists were later released, and the city ban lifted automatically with ending of a county hepatitis health emergency declaration. An East County task force on homelessness, led by Chamber CEO Eric Lund, made major strides, succeeding in having El Cajon enact several measures to help the homeless, and some other East County cities joined the task force. But at year's end, with Lund announcing he's leaving the chamber and moving out of state, it's unclear who will spearhead East County efforts on this serious problem. Meanwhile, this December, new data shows San Diego has the fourth highest homeless population in the nation, so expect this issue to continue making headlines in 2019.
In January 2018, a revamped version of Bonita Ranch sparked a new round of community activism seeking to halt the massive housing project proposed in Santee. Activists got enough signatures to qualify a ballot initiative to give the people a vote on Bonita Ranch and other projects that exceed the general plan's density allowances. But the city council voted to postpone that initiative until 2020, prompting a heated election campaign. Opponents of Bonita Ranch lost, but two of the winning council members stated they believe the people should vote on Bonita Ranch. Will they keep their word? We may find out in 2019.
Video of a La Mesa police officer at Helix High slamming a handcuffed female student to the ground prompted a student walkout, concerns raised to the school board, and oversight by the La Mesa City Council, which commissioned an independent study. The former Helix student, Brianna Bell, filed a lawsuit against the city in October, which is expected to be heard in the coming year.
Anzaburego Desert State Park received an International Dark Skies Park designation, assuring protection from light pollution for astronomers and stargazers in California's largest state park. The neighboring town of Borrego Springs is already an International Dark Skies community, making the entire region a mecca for stargazing enthusiasts.
A loss in court forced advocates of an Alpine high school to settle with the Grossmont Union High School District. The state's decision, soon after, to deny a petition for Alpine School District to expand to serve high school as well as elementary and middle school students, dashed any hope of an Alpine high school for the foreseeable future. A gag order in the settlement may also have had a chilling effect on elections, since the most vocal opponent of the high school, Jim Kelly, won re-election to the Grossmont School Board unchallenged.
In February, supervisors gave tentative approval to a blueprint to move forward on revitalization of Casa de Oro, a Spring Valley community blighted by graffiti and an infusion of alcohol and tobacco outlets. Supervisor Diane Jacob called this a critical first step. And then in August, the Casa de Oro Alliance received a $500,000 grant to help improve the Campo Business Corridor through the heart of Casa de Oro.
Three East County Native American tribes celebrated milestones in 2018. Viejas opened a second high-rise hotel, the Willows Hotel and Spa, in February. Later in the year, Saquon broke ground on its 12-story resort hotel. These projects signify the maturation of Native American business ventures in our region as tribes expand beyond casinos into additional business enterprises, including bringing high-end resorts to East County. Meanwhile, the Hamul Indian Village took over management from Penn Gaming and rebranded its Hamul Casino.
Two Lemon Grove council members found themselves embroiled in legal disputes. In March, marijuana dispensary advocate Christopher Williams accused Councilman David Arambula of assault, later filing a lawsuit against Arambula and the city. Arambula disputes the allegation, which came just a week after the city settled a separate suit accusing Councilman Jerry Jones of violating free speech rights of a contracted city worker.
In the wake of the massacre at Parkland High School in Florida, local schools saw student walkouts and protests at school board meetings. In April, Cajon Valley School Board member Jim Miller drew criticism for donning a National Rifle Association hat and slamming speakers concerned about guns on campus, touting his affiliation with a local gun owners group. A La Mesa Spring Valley School Board member similarly drew fire for his insults to concerned citizens over this heated topic, where passions run high on both sides of the gun rights versus school safety debate.
La Mesa moved its farmers market downtown starting in May with an aim toward drawing crowds into the historic village. But some merchants, including most restaurant owners, objected to the Friday night dates and have complained of lost business. Facing financial woes of his own, Businessman Aaron Dean resigned as head of the La Mesa Village Association, but new leadership continues to operate the market. At year's end, La Mesa's city council voted to continue the market downtown for another 6 months with a revamped layout.
Amid national concerns over treatment of immigrant children, congressional members Susan Davis and Juan Vargas toured a detention facility in El Cajon in June and voiced concern over child separations from parents at the border. A later report revealed the center failed to report several runaway children, prompting El Cajon City Council in December to vote to notify agencies with oversight of their concerns. The local issue comes on the heels of revelations of child abuse and lack of vetting of those hired at some immigrant child detention centers across the nation, as well as the deaths in December of two detained migrant children. Family separations also drew a protest march through downtown El Cajon this summer.
In the June primaries, two embattled Republicans beat down challengers in their own party. Randy Bopel weathered accusations of stolen valor or inflating his military record to defeat a former Navy SEAL, while Congressman Duncan Hunter, target of a grand jury probe that later resulted in indictment post-primary, still picked up the GOP endorsement to defeat El Cajon Mayor Bill Wells and others. Democrats, however, scored a win with Matt Brower beating out challengers to square off against censured Judge Gary Creep, whom Brower defeated in November. Sheriff Bill Gore and District Attorney Summer Steffen, both Republicans, won their elections outright in the June primary with substantial margins of victory.
A ribbon cutting in June welcomed the Courtyard Marriott, a four-star hotel, to downtown El Cajon, all part of revitalization plans to bring new revenues and travelers to the city's downtown district.
The fast-moving West Fire scorched 34 homes in Alpine in July, leading to acts of heroism and community fundraising efforts. Through the Alpine Community Foundation and others to help survivors rebuild their homes and lives. Our own East County Wildfire and Emergency Alerts helped save lives, too, getting notice out within 6 minutes after the fire began, long before any fire agencies sent out alerts and before any homes had burned.
Facing accusations of fraud, sexual harassment, and defamation in ongoing civil litigation, El Cajon Councilman Ben Colasso faced calls for resignation at hostile public meetings in July. He was also accused in July of threatening our reporter, and later a process server, with an attack dog. After settling a federal lawsuit in which he agreed to stop blocking opponents on social media, Colasso removed his Facebook page and Twitter feed. He lost his election bid against Gary Kendrick by an 85-15% margin in the city's first district election in November, but can stay on council another 2 years in his existing at-large seat unless he resigns, is recalled, or imprisoned before then. Legal sources indicate the district attorney is considering filing criminal charges against Colasso in the new year.
In late July, Boulevard's planning group voted to oppose Torrey Wind, a massive wind energy project proposed in Boulevard. Later in the year, planning group members heard testimony from residents complaining of noise and cell phone disruption from new Thule wind turbines in McCain Valley. Now another new project, Campo Wind, is proposed for a community that has been plagued by wind turbine problems ranging from brush fires to sleep disruption, to fears over impacts on wildlife and human health.
Trump's immigration restrictions and travel ban have kept many families separated, including some here in East County, where refugees from war-torn Syria are beginning a new life. In August, we profiled Syrian refugees adapting to their life in El Cajon, along with efforts by some in the community to help these newcomers to America.
Despite an upbeat State of the City speech in August delivered by Lemon Grove Mayor Raquel Vasquez, Lemon Grove faces a budget shortfall and the prospect of having to draw down reserves to pay expenses. Some in the community have even called for consideration of unincorporating and reverting back to county control.
Congressman Duncan Hunter's indictment on federal corruption charges in August, along with his wife, made national news. Despite the pending felony trial, the embattled Republican representative narrowly won re-election by 3.4% over Democrat Amar Campa-Najjar in November. But Hunter could wind up in prison if convicted in his trial, which begins in September of 2019. Meanwhile, he's been stripped of his committee assignments in Congress, leaving his district with only limited representation.
Congressman Hunter wasn't the only local representative accused of behaving badly. In late August, State Senator Joel Anderson was accused of threatening to bitch-slap a female lobbyist at a Sacramento restaurant. A legislative investigation resulted in a bipartisan censure of East County's senator. Anderson, a Republican, stepped down due to term limits and ran for Board of Equalization in November, but lost to Democrat Mike Schaefer, who is also tainted by scandals, including being disbarred in two states for fraud.
In September, the Local Agency Formation Commission voted to dissolve the Julian Cuyamaca Fire Protection District, the county's last all-volunteer fire department. But residents fought back, qualifying a ballot initiative for a March 2019 special election to save their fire department, the first time any community has made it this far in the process to block a LAFCO action. The community also elected new board members who favor remaining independent instead of being absorbed in the county fire authority.
A new bird has landed, La Mesa Councilman Bill Baber said in August after hundreds of electric rental scooters turned up in the city. Bird, Lime, and other scooter companies also introduced scooters into other local communities, which have since sought to regulate the new transportation means to find a balance between helping residents and visitors get around without motor vehicles while also protecting public safety.
A state mandate for Borrego Springs to dramatically reduce water use led to a victory for preservationists in September, when county supervisors rejected the Borrego Country Club Estate's proposal to build 169 homes on land that's home to ocotillos, bighorn sheep, and other protected species. But in November, a state water bond was rejected that would have helped buy out farmers using most of Borrego's water. That leaves Borrego in a dilemma over how to prevent the town's sole source aquifer from running out of water.
In October, Governor Jerry Brown signed a landmark climate action bill requiring California to get 100% of its electricity from renewable resources by 2025. Locally, La Mesa passed a climate action plan, and other East County cities are preparing to do so. San Diego's mayor has announced intent to form a community choice energy option for consumers to buy electricity from the city instead of SDG&E, an option that some other local cities may weigh in the coming year. It's all part of an international push by nearly every nation to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in the wake of a dire report from the United Nations authored by top scientists around the world, even as U.S. President Donald Trump has withdrawn the U.S. from the Global Climate Change Pact and enacted policies to increase use of fossil fuels in direct conflict to what climate experts advise.
Supervisors voted in October to ban recreational target shooting on public lands in Dalzura, in partnership with the federal government. The decision came much to the dismay of target shooters, but the relief of homeowners fearful after shooting sparked multiple brush fires.
County planners got an earful at an October hearing in Lakeside, where some 500 irate residents turned out to oppose a proposed sand mine in scenic El Monte Valley and voice concerns over a draft environmental impact report. The developer says sand is needed for local road building, but residents fear deadly valley fever spores will be released from the soil, also objecting to noise, traffic, air pollution, groundwater degradation, and harm to wildlife, including many protected species found there.
Dr. Akilah Weber won election in November to La Mesa City Council, a Democrat and the first African-American woman to hold the seat. Weber narrowly defeated Councilman Guy McWhorter. Councilman Bill Baber won re-election. On the La Mesa Spring Valley School Board, long a conservative bastion, two progressive women, Chardé Fontenot and Rebecca McRae, won seats along with conservative Megan Epperson.
Democrat Amar Campanajar came within 3.4 percentage points of beating indicted Republican Congressman Duncan Hunter, who has won past races by high double-digit margins. Campanajar achieved this despite vicious attack pieces mailed by Hunter's campaign, denounced by the New York Times as false and by national analysts as among the most negative and baseless mailers anywhere. Campanajar holds promise as a rising star in the Democratic Party and could opt for a retry at the seat if Hunter is convicted in 2019 and a special election is held.
Hate crimes are up nationally and locally at alarming rates, including anti-Semitic crimes targeting Jews. On November 1st, local synagogue members stood together in solidarity with people of other faiths to renounce hate in the wake of the deadly massacre at a Pittsburgh synagogue.
El Cajon Mayor Bill Wells won re-election handily over fellow Republican challenger Joel Scalziti. Wells ran on his record of turning the city around economically and bringing new revenue sources to El Cajon, including luxury car dealers and a Marriott hotel. The mayor also oversaw a deal with Live Nations to reopen the East County Performing Arts Center next year. His opponent, by contrast, dodged interviews and was found by our special report to have numerous tax liens filed against him, including by El Cajon, the city that Scalziti sought to represent.
County Supervisors Bill Horn and Ron Roberts have left office due to term limits. In November, voters elected Republican Jim Desmond, former mayor of San Marcos, and Democrat Nathan Fletcher, former assemblyman, to fill those seats. Desmond's district includes portions of East County, including Borrego Springs, Warner Springs, and Ranchita.
East County's new state senator in the 38th district is a familiar face. Brian Jones formerly served in the Assembly and on Santee's City Council. Jones, a Republican, defeated Cal Fire Captain Jeff Griffith, though Griffith came the closest of any Democrat to run in the district in recent memory, trailing by only 6% after all the votes were counted.
An overflow crowd turned out at a November 25th meeting convened by Stop the Cottonwood Sand Mine, a group organized to halt plans to convert Cottonwood Golf Course in Rancho San Diego to a sand mine. The group has mobilized with petitions and more, arguing that the project would bring noise and pollution to neighbors and violates recreational zoning allowances on the site, which is also designated as a buffer to protect wildlife in an adjacent federal preserve.
In December, La Mesa residents learned of a state proposal to open a parole office at the base of Mount Helix near Grossmont High School, homes and businesses in an area far from mass transit. Concerned residents launched a petition and lobbying effort in hopes of blocking the project, which would bring thousands of parolees a year into the community, all hardened criminals who serve time in state prison for crimes ranging from sex offenses to murder. Days before Christmas, activists got a holiday gift with word that the state has dropped its plans for a parole office at this location, but will seek an alternative site somewhere else in East County.
Plans to reopen the long-shuttered East County Performing Arts Center suffered a setback in December, when El Cajon City Council allocated substantial additional funds to replace an aging heating air conditioning system and fix additional roof problems after the recent rains. The curtain is finally expected to rise in 2019, with headline acts to be booked starting in the fall.
San Diego East County Chamber of Commerce CEO and President Eric Lund announced in mid-December that he will be leaving January 11th to take a new job elsewhere. Programs started or supported by Lund during his five-year tenure include the East County Homeless Task Force, Refer East County, Shop East County, East County Leadership, and San Diego County Tourism Marketing for East County. The Chamber has established a search committee to find a new CEO, but Lund leaves behind some very large shoes to fill. And that concludes our wrap-up of the top stories of the year here in East County. Jonathan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Miriam. Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to all of our listeners, too.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from our region.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Arts and Music Spotlight.
This is John Fisteer with an Arts and Music Report. The much-anticipated reopening of the East County Performing Arts Center has been postponed yet again. The community theater has been closed for over a decade, fallen into disrepair following years of mismanagement. Now under the management of Live Nation, reportedly the world's largest concert promoter, the theater was scheduled to open in the near future. But now reservations aren't expected to be completed until May, with booking of major headline acts being postponed until fall of next year. The delay is due to a need to replace the heating and air conditioning system, as well as more problems with the aging roof. El Cajon's City Council approved an additional $1.85 million to fix these problems, raising the city's total cost to upgrade the facility to $8.2 million. So far, most of that money has come from the sale of the former police station building to a hotel developer. The council vote was 4-0, with Councilman Colasso abstaining.
Next up from County News Service, we're going to be hearing from Larry Johnson out at the old Campo Stone Store, one of East County's most unique and colorful historical landmarks.
If you're ever on Highway 94, about an hour east of San Diego, you might see this unique building.
Welcome to Historic Campo and the Gaskell Brothers Stone Store Museum.
The Gaskell Brothers built the fortress-like stone store in 1885. Previously, it was a wooden structure, the site of a famous shootout.
A group of bandits had been raiding down the coast of California, so gunfire started. And there was a big shootout. The guy that they had shot on the floor, one of the Gaskell brothers, didn't kill him. He jumped up, grabbed a shotgun, went out and shot people. And so they were shooting dead blank range around. And both Gaskell brothers were wounded. The locals were afraid of another raid. They couldn't get the military up here to guard and protect them. So they thought they needed a substantial building. So that's why they decided to build a building as thick as this and as strong as this. If you take a look around, if you come in, you'll see that the walls down here are about 4 foot thick. It's from stone that was quarried here on site by hand with hammer and drill and no backhoes or heavy lifting objects. It was manpower. It served as a store from 1885 until about 1927.
No longer a store, this building is now a museum, thanks to County Parks and the Mountain Empire Historical Society. Today, the store reflects the early life of the town of Campo.
When the Historical Society began, they tried to make it look a lot like it did in 1899, or when it was a store functioning to serve the local public. So they have gathered some of the food stuff, the tobaccos, the medical supplies, the ropes, the cans, anything that the ranchers needed. If they didn't have it, you didn't need it.
The building is filled with photos, books, artifacts from the Kumeyaay Indians who occupied the region prior to the settlers, and other rare items.
These shackles were found locally about 3 miles from here on a ranch in about 1885. A person who's bought the ranch found in the well the skeleton. On the skeleton, on the legs, were these shackles. They didn't know who the body was or who the skeleton was. It's still a mystery today. One of the interesting things about these shackles is they're blacksmith made. There's no lock to them. Once they were on, they were meant to stay.
Upstairs is an impressive exhibit dedicated to Campo's military history, including Camp Lockett.
Camp Lockett was started before the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. I guess the military was anticipating that there was going to be a war, and they needed another base here, and they needed a base in this area because of the railroad, which was a key supply line. We had a long exposed border, and one of the things they were afraid of was that if the Japanese came into the war, they might invade Mexico and come into San Diego. So this was sort of a critical point, and so they started building Camp Lockett.
The 10th Cavalry is one you may have heard of.
The famed Buffalo Soldiers, white officers and then African-American enlisted troops. And they were stationed here, and they were guarding tunnels and railroad and the border. Very tough, very good soldiers.
The museum is open on weekends, making for a nice day trip to learn about our local pioneers.
They were entrepreneurs, every one of them. They were constantly trying to figure out how to make the best of what they had and where they were, and to make a living and to leave history and substantial items behind them so that descendants would have something to live and work on and hopefully try and take care of.
This is Ed Barena for East County Magazine and KNSJ with some important safety tips. On average, 20,000 deaths and 21 million medical visits occur annually, Fire Chief Sam DiGiovanna reminds us. Firefighters and paramedics respond to thousands of accidents every day, he says. Chief DiGiovanna, author of the Chief's Corner column on East County Magazine, offers these tips to help prevent accidents in your home. In the bathroom, cleaners should be locked away, out of the reach of children. Medications, scissors, razor blades, and cleaning supplies should be kept in a locked cabinet or out of the reach of children and pets. Non-skid stickers in the tub and shower can prevent slips and falls. Children should not be left unattended in or around the pool. Pool areas should be fenced in with a gate secured with a child-proof safety lock or latch. Electrical safety. Children can stick objects in open sockets and get hurt. Unused electrical outlets must have safety plugs to prevent accidental electrocution from foreign objects being put in the socket. Every home should have a fire extinguisher. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors should be on each floor of the home and tested monthly. Batteries should be changed at least every 6 months or as necessary. A working fire extinguisher must be accessible. Keep paper towels, plastic plates, plastic utensils, and anything other than cooking equipment away from the stove. These items can easily start a fire if left too close to the range. Keep pesticides and cleaners away from children. Store chemicals in a locked cabinet or keep on a high shelf that children cannot reach. Do not spray bug spray or pesticides near a child's toys, since toys tend to go into a child's mouth. In addition, never leave household chemicals unattended. Unfortunately, small children may try to open the products and drink the contents.
The East County Magazine Show airs Mondays and Fridays on KNSJ from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. You can listen live at 89.1 FM or online at knsj.org. You can also listen anywhere by downloading the TuneIn application for your smartphone. For details, visit tunein.com.
This is East County Magazine's People Power, profiling local people making a positive difference in our community and our world.
This is John Fistier with East County Magazine's People Power Report. Fourth grade students at Meridian Elementary School in El Cajon were asked how they would like to improve their community. The children dreamed up the idea of a playground for families at the East County Transitional Living Center in El Cajon, which helps homeless people transition off the streets. The students also created a design for an ideal playground, but they had no idea that Allstate Insurance had provided funding through its Good Starts Young program to make the playground concept become a reality. On December 4th, the Meridian Elementary School children were brought by bus to the East County Transitional Living Center, where they were surprised and delighted to see a fully constructed playground that their visions had inspired, now bringing smiles to formerly homeless children. According to a statement issued by Allstate, the community project with Meridian Elementary represents Allstate's mission to empower young people to become the next generation of leaders and change makers, inspiring us all to be better citizens in our communities.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine Radio Show, or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. Our independent radio station, KNSJ, was launched on the 4th of July. Since then, KNSJ has added new local and syndicated programs. Now, we're working to build our news and investigative journalism team to bring you the many important stories you won't hear anywhere else. Stories that impact you, your family, your community, and our nation. Please donate to support KNSJ News at www.knsj.org. That's www.knsj.org.